Welcome to the Alien Wellness Think Tank podcast series. The Think Tank is an emergency medicine organization led by residents for residents to improve the culture of wellness during residency training. Take a listen to our conversations with our wellness strategists and mentors.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Think Tank podcast. My name is Katie Rebelo. I am an emergency medicine physician and faculty at LA County USC in Los Angeles. This is part two of our podcast series, Wellness in the Era of COVID. Today, we are here to discuss different strategies, interventions, and resources that residency programs and residents are utilizing to improve wellness, boost morale, and combat burnout while battling this global pandemic on the front lines. Today, I'm joined by three amazing residents from across the country who will be sharing their experiences and strategies with us today. Thanks for joining me today, ladies.
Hi, I'm Jackie Furbacher. I'm a PGY2 at Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, my name is Saria Ahmed, and I'm a PGY4 emergency medicine, internal medicine resident at Kings County in Brooklyn, New York.
And hi, everybody. I'm Sydney Beck. I am a PGY2 at LA County Harbor, UCLA.
On part one of this podcast series, we discussed some of the different ways you felt negatively impacted by coronavirus. We talked about the influx of coronavirus patients and how it's changing the landscape of emergency medicine. Residents are seeing a lack of diverse pathology. They're having procedures given to senior residents or even attendings due to the high-risk nature of the procedures. You are all transitioning to new roles in July. Some of you will become a PGY3 or 4, and some of you will become attendings. Given that coronavirus has created this lack of diverse pathology and you are not able to participate in certain procedures, what types of strategies are you implementing to ensure confidence as you transition to your new roles in July?
One thing that we've tried to do at Ohio State is with all the virtual conferences, just continuing the simulation stuff and doing it sort of more like oral boards and kind of prepping through some of those tough cases and making sure that we at least are talking through it. I think they're offering some additional training opportunities for airway simulation for some of the rising interns who will then be seeing a lot of the sicker patients during their second year. And then we're also trying to figure out how to get our incoming interns up to par and sort of just being creative about how we stay safe, but also provide that hands-on experience that's really crucial for procedures. So I think the biggest thing that we're learning is learning how to be flexible and recognizing that we're all in the same boat, trying to be creative and utilize technology to our advantage.
And are any of you finding that during your shifts, maybe when you have some downtime, you're doing kind of oral boards, review, or simulation cases just like verbally?
So at Harbor, we actually have rounds before and after each shift. And during that time period, if we have downtime, we go through cases, we do oral boards cases. Especially when we're in the pediatric emergency room where we are seeing lower volumes, whenever we have downtime, we go through cases or we actually practice different procedures. So that's been definitely helpful on shifts where they're a little bit slower.
Saria, are you guys doing anything in New York?
So some of the things we have done actually, like morning report, different days are dedicated to different ones. So there's like trauma, cardiology, and then peds. And we've kept that up. And so different people, like on some of them, have actually ended up doing just wellness topics to kind of get people's minds off some of the traditional cases. And early on, I noticed what people were doing instead of kind of focusing on just COVID cases, a trauma case completely unrelated, or how everyone's feeling or mindfulness exercises. But some are also like traditional morning reports. So it's been like pretty mixed. But I thought that was pretty interesting to kind of just keep that up, but also like put a spin on it during this time.
Sure. And how are you all feeling about transitioning into a senior role within like the next month?
I've been a little bit more nervous in terms of airways, at least. Whoever was going to see that COVID patient first was going to be doing everything for them, whether that was me or a senior resident. When you walked into the room, you're gowned up, you see that patient, they're sick, they're crashing, they need an airway, they need a line, you're going to be doing all of that. Your attending is probably outside the room watching everything you do, but you're there with a nurse and a respiratory therapist, and you guys are helping do everything from putting them on the monitor, getting access to further more advanced procedures. So it's been much more limited because in terms of our resuscitations, normally our senior resident or their junior resident, whoever wants, you know, will take the airway and then the other person will help with the line. And it's much more of like a teamwork dynamic and everyone's getting something out of the resuscitation. Whereas now with COVID, it's much more isolating in terms of the procedures. So I was much more concerned about that because I feel like I've definitely gotten less procedures on certain shifts. And I feel like we've been intubating a ton with the GlideScope, and I haven't done a DL intubation in a long time. So it's been a while. So in the back of my mind, I'm like, am I going to be, you know, I know I'm going to be good, but in the back of my mind, I do have a little bit of apprehension about the next time I have to DL someone in an emergent situation. So just little things like that.
When you become a PGY3 in July, you will be allowed to see these patients and do more procedures on them?
So we're already allowed to do procedures and actually intubate these patients. Initially, when we saw our COVID patients, only our senior residents and our attendings were doing the airways on them. But as, you know, a couple weeks into our whole COVID pandemic, we realized that we're going to be seniors in a few months and we're not really doing many of these airways. So our leadership was they were very open to having a conversation about it, and they understood our worries, they understood our concerns, and they actually opened up intubations to everyone from PGY2 and up.
Daria and Jackie, I'm curious, your experience as PGY in 3 and 4 progressing to the next year, do you have any concerns about procedures or pathology or otherwise that coronavirus has affected? And how are you preparing for that personally, like outside of doing simulation cases and oral board cases and sim procedures in the ER? How else are you personally preparing for that transition?
So I was thinking a little bit about that recently, thinking about like pediatric intubations. I guess there's certain airway courses as well that you can potentially take to get those extra cases. I'm kind of curious what other people are thinking in terms of pediatric intubations, or if around this time, if that was lower for them, or is that a common theme amongst everyone or not really?
I think just generally our peds volume is down, but I think one thing just thinking about the transition period is that it's been a little bit nice to have some extra time to spend with some of the sicker patients. So we had for the sick pediatric patients, being able to spend a little bit of time to ask the attendings more detailed questions, asking, okay, if I was in the community by myself practicing, what would you do? Or like, what would you recommend doing? And thinking about it from that perspective, thinking I'm going to be a third year next year and potentially working in a community after that. I don't know what my future plans are, but trying to take that step of taking that challenge academically to be like, okay, if I'm by myself in an ED, maybe with some nurses, maybe another EM attending, how are we managing this airway, or what's the best steps, or what are these, like if this was a different situation based on this, like what do you think you would do? And just kind of talking through those cases and having a little bit more time to ask those questions. Cause I feel like when it's really busy, our pediatric ED can get crazy. It's sometimes harder to have that space to ask them. So that's something that's been helping me to kind of ease that transition. I think the interesting thing about this year is that for every other transition, potentially like coming from fourth year of med school to intern year, you had a lot of space. But right now, it just feels like there's a lot more time to think about this big transition. For me, going to third year is just looking at the whole department in our program. And it feels a little less like we have that pressure now to kind of start that transition because our volumes have been different at different shifts. And so I think it's just trying to challenge yourself every day to learn something new, remembering that we do have all the skill set, and trying to find ways to kind of manage the kind of apprehension and anxiety. And just knowing, I think, listening from your guys' perspective, hearing that everyone else is sort of in the same page, I feel like there is some sense of peace with that. And just knowing that we're all just kind of doing the best that we can. Everyone around the country is dealing with different things related to this pandemic. And so recognizing that you're not alone and just being honest about it, you know, and that we'll all step up. We're EM. We can like manage all these new changes. So I think it's just one day at a time sometimes.
Very well said. So we also discussed how your resident education was affected. Jackie, you were talking about how you're now participating in virtual Zoom lectures, which is kind of difficult to deal with in many ways. How are you combating these struggles of doing virtual lectures with a lack of in-person participation? What has your program done to kind of combat burnout brought on by the social distancing and lack of in-person conferences?
So I think that's really hard. Thankfully, we do a lot of small groups in our program, and the small groups, they're able to separate us into the Zoom small groups, and they can call us out. So I think that's helped with engagement of at least like getting people to talk and stay engaged remotely. I do think it's really hard to replace what in-person contact is like. So we're trying different strategies. We've made like a residency Slack page and invited the attendings on just because everyone is struggling with wellness in this time. But I think Zoom hangouts have been one thing. As the weather gets nicer, trying to do like more outdoor activities and being able to be a little bit more socially distanced has been helpful. But I think we're still just trying to figure it out. I don't know that we have like a great solution yet, but I'm hopeful that with the warmer weather, we'll all be able to get outside and do a little bit more. They did oral boards prep in Winnow Park with one of our simulation attendings a couple days ago. And I think people really enjoyed that too.
That's super awesome.
I've really been amazed at how our wellness committee during this time has grown. We already kind of had a wellness committee, but we had maybe 10 grew to like 25 during this time. And it kind of just started with WhatsApp groups and, you know, everyone just joining that way. And it sort of different avenues grew from that. And one thing that I can think of in terms of like, it's similar to what Jackie said in terms of Zoom conferencing, one of our chief residents had the idea in conjunction with the program director. When the All NYC conference was canceled, they kind of got this idea to replace it with a wellness day, which we have a wellness curriculum that we started 2 years ago. So we've been keeping up those lectures, but this was a day dedicated just to wellness. And it was basically breakout groups. So like, as Jackie said, like breaking out small groups, it was dedicated to the seven C's of wellness. So it was cuisine. So he had this idea of just picking someone that would lead a cooking class on one of the small groups, and then career. So the PD, our PD, talking about like future steps after graduation. And then one was a mindfulness session. And I led that one. It was just 30-minute headspace, basically just different ones. And then a couple other ones were like cardiovascular, just like leading a fitness class, which was the idea. And I didn't get to see all of them, but that was a really awesome way, like just to kind of change the tone of the lectures and just sort of focus on wellness. And then we had someone come in and lead a wellness mindfulness session, which was really, it was awesome to kind of do that on Zoom, which was different.
Yeah, I think mindfulness can be so helpful in times like these because it teaches you skills to really be in the moment and find yourself some peace and quiet in a moment of chaos. I find that when I first started doing mindfulness in residency, that I transferred those skills into very busy shifts in our ER. And if I felt overwhelmed, I would kind of count to three for myself and take a few deep breaths. And then I would feel centered and be able to face the task at hand. And it was really helpful. So I'm really grateful for that training that I did many years ago. And I still continue to do mindfulness today. And it's really helped me kind of manage the stress and fatigue that is associated with kind of facing this pandemic on the front lines.
What has really helped for just support has been like at the end of each Zoom conference, our admin does like an hour dedicated to COVID questions. So whatever residents have, like whatever has come up or whatever has come up that week, there's like a document that people can put their questions in. And the administration at both of our hospitals basically is at the front and answers any questions and any worries or concerns that anyone has and just feels like they're there for us. And our program director just sort of, he was starting each during like some of the most difficult times, starting the conferences with good news to sort of start everyone off on, regardless of what had happened that week, just trying to pick a few good things that had happened and sort of focusing on that too, which helped a lot during some of the roughest times.
Yeah, I really love that support from your leadership. It seems like they are really trying to cultivate a culture of wellness amidst this COVID pandemic. Sydney, is Harbor doing anything wellness related in conference?
So occasionally we'll have some wellness sessions during conference. Obviously, it's much more difficult when you're on Zoom to have the same effect. But we have been doing weekly happy hours that a couple of our residents have organized. So anyone that's free on a Wednesday night between a certain time will be able to be online and just all hang out together and vent and chat. We've also been doing just outdoor activities with people who are free just because the weather is so beautiful. It's so nice to be outside. It's in fresh air. So exercising while social distancing and just being by the water here has been really helpful.
Yeah. So what other kinds of things are you doing to kind of protect your own mental health and ward off depression and burnout. You mentioned exercise. Are there any other kind of strategies or interventions you guys are implementing?
I think just keeping in contact with people that are important to you has been really important to me. For example, my family's all in New York, keeping in touch with them and all my best friends that are currently in New York City, organizing time to talk to people from high school and college and med school and residency. That's been really nice, just having that human connection with other people and being able to chat with them and seeing how they're doing and catch up. I think that that's been my number one most important thing that I've been doing to keep my mental health where it needs to be. And then obviously exercising, being outside, spending time with my husband and my dog. I recently got into baking, which I've never been into before. So I'm just trying to do different things with my free time and try to be productive with my time.
Okay, Sydney, I'll give you my address later so you can drop off some baked goods on my doorstep, okay?
I made biscuits and they were not that good. So I'll spare you that.
Sydney, I can echo that. I've been baking up a storm. Like, I made ramen the other day and I've been craving ramen from, I went to Japan in fourth year. And then I also, just for fun, and then I went, and from Houston, there's such good food. And I like Columbus a lot, but the ramen scene is not so great. And so I finally just found a recipe and made like a spicy miso ramen. And it was just like so soul satisfying. So like finding those things. My family, and I got to Zoom with them on Mother's Day and seeing everyone's face. It's just kind of fun to be able to like crack the jokes. We're on there for like an hour or two and it's like, yeah, we're not together, but we couldn't be together anyway because we all live in different places. So just having those moments of like, oh, here's like the things that's going to warm my soul, like a good bowl of soup or a baked good or trying something and failing and just having fun, kind of laughing along the way.
I thought that this time would make me a cook. Like, I've never really cooked, but the entire quarantine time that I've tried to make has been dalgona coffee, which it was a failure for me.
What is that?
It's that foam. Have you guys heard of it?
Iced
coffee that then you whip your own foam. So I spent 20 minutes trying to whip the foam and I kept going and my roommate was like, you probably just need to whip some more. And I kept going and it really never got thick. So I was like, this is my failure of cooking.
You're like hand whipping this foam?
It was like, I guess it's like literally four ingredients. And I was like, I can't mess this up. And it didn't come out right.
I thought that it was just sugar with like coffee and some milk. And you just like literally mix it together.
It's literally four ingredients, but I honestly think the people in the, like, if the Instagram photos, I think they're using a whisk or like a auto mixer, because using my hand, I was like, I've got this. It didn't really come out. I really did.
Okay. So maybe barista is not in your future, which is great because you are a physician already. So
I agree with what Sydney said. I feel like the connection part of it, even though like my family actually lives in Louisville, Kentucky. So I did not get to go back, even though I had like a bit of a vacation time. They're older and I didn't want to risk, because at that time we didn't know about the asymptomatic transmission. So I honestly didn't go back, but keeping up with FaceTiming and just kind of, sometimes you feel even more connected, because before I wasn't really doing that, but I felt like, you know, just doing that, keeping in touch with friends and my improv troupe, actually, because we can't meet in person anymore. We've been doing, it's like figured out how to use Zoom. So we practice on Tuesdays and Fridays, and then we have like periodic shows. So that's been like actually my savior during this time after a long shift. So it's just kind of being able to come back to that and just kind of forget everything has honestly been really important during this time.
That's so interesting that you're in an improv group. It reminds me of like, have you watched the SNL at Home episodes?
Yeah, so I don't have cable or anything, but I saw the pictures of like the Zoom. I was so happy to see that. I was like, yes.
Yeah, it's actually really good. They did three episodes. The first episode was interesting and kind of like sporadic. The second episode was way better. And the third episode was just like gold. It's just so fascinating to see such creative minds come together and really collaborate in such an interesting virtual way to bring a show to people. It's really, you should totally check it out.
I watched, like, I need to go back and watch the last one. I was so excited they did that.
Yeah. Have any of you checked out the like virtual museum tours or the Broadways or operas that are being offered online?
I personally have not, but I am excited for Hamilton to be on Disney Plus because I haven't gotten to see that yet. And they're going to do the live stream of Hamilton. So that should be good.
I'm so excited. I have seen Hamilton twice and it is life-changing. So all I can say is get yourself a cold beverage, sit on your couch, and make sure you're strapped in because it is a wild ride and you will not be the same person when you get up from that couch. It is so good. But I encourage you, if you haven't seen any of the other like live shows they're offering, or the museum tours are really interesting too. I know the Met Opera is doing one.
There's also been some National Geographic stuff too, where they do like live tours, or not a live tour, but like a tour of Yosemite and like all of these other national parks and stuff like that as well. And I actually have tuned into the live zoo streams that they've had, like the Oregon Zoo and all of these other cute zoos where they live stream live animals and you get to check in and see how they're doing. Very cute.
Oh my goodness. It's like a virtual cat cafe.
Mm-hmm. But except for like with penguins and elephants and stuff.
Oh my gosh. Why are penguins just the best? They just make me smile all the time. That's awesome. I'm going to check that out. So I'm curious, how are you guys kind of balancing staying updated with new medical information that's coming out about coronavirus and different management tactics that are happening around the country? How are you balancing that with like information overload and coronavirus fatigue? Because I feel like I am constantly feeling fatigued by the news and like podcasts about coronavirus and talking to people at work about coronavirus. How are you guys kind of balancing that?
I definitely feel like there's a lot of fatigue in general because every single day on the news and at work, it's like all we're seeing and all we're talking about and all everyone's worried about right now. So I would say that overall, I do feel a little bit overwhelmed with all the information. So I've kind of limited my resources and what I'm currently using to just keep updated. So I would say that my main ones are EM Crit and their pulmonary crit care sessions that they have and podcasts that they do. And they keep updating that every week or so with new information, which has been helpful, and new research and summarizing all of that. And then also MRAP. And those have been my two major sources that I've been using personally.
I would say mine's about the same. MRAP and EM Crit have been really helpful. I think picking one or two sources is one strategy that you feel like you can rely on, just because there is so much happening and it's like all over social media, it's all over everything. So it's like picking one or two, staying consistent with those, and then also taking time away from all that stuff and just like taking time away from your phone and like finding an activity that you really can get lost in, whether it's improv or baking or taking your dog out for a walk, like all those factors. It's just like remembering who you are outside of all of this, because it does feel like it's like to work and home and back to home and work and back and forth. And you're like, all this is COVID. And so just finding that space away from it is, I think, probably one of the hardest parts initially, and something that I'm still trying to kind of make sure I take time to do every day.
Yeah, to echo Sydney and Jackie, I definitely like those sources, EMCRIT, MRAP, and just podcasts in general. I kind of would just read, like, if an article came out, I'd try to read that. And then also, I agree with the whole, it's just so much. It's there's so much out there. And then the temptation to read just other things too, like just news stories. And there's just it kind of balancing it with also talking to people who were working. And then just hearing what had happened that day or around the hospital, and just kind of keeping it in perspective for what was really happening.
Yeah, personally, I feel like in the beginning, like almost the entire month of March, I would listen to podcasts about coronavirus and about management strategies and world news about coronavirus, and I was totally getting fatigued by it. And so now what I do is I have a pretty significant commute of like 45 minutes to work on a good day. And so I spend my time either listening to an audiobook that is fiction, or I call one of my East Coast family members that's on a totally different timetable, and they tend to be home from work, and just kind of catch up and get out of the COVID bubble before I step back into it at work. And I found that that's really kind of helped decrease my stress about it. So I'm curious, just in general, what other kind of measures or interventions have your residency programs kind of taken to protect your mental health and boost morale among residents? Like, I know that at USC, there are several different services delivering care packages to the emergency department residents. And we are getting free food almost daily, which is great because not only does it keep all of the healthcare workers sustained and full, but it makes us feel appreciated as well, you know, which helps improve our wellness.
We've been doing a few different things. Like I said, the Zoom meetups, the happy hours, things outside together with people who are free off shift while social distancing, all of that. And then on shift wellness, I think that we also have had tons of free food and donations. A few of our attendings have family members that are in the restaurant industry and hospitality, and they've been able to donate food every single shift, at least for lunch, for everyone, including nurses and techs in the ER, which has been absolutely amazing. And you feel so much better when you have some good food in your stomach when you're on shift. Everyone just has better morale. So that's been really nice.
Yeah, same actually here with the food. We've been just, it's been amazing, honestly, with the food deliveries. We've had so many food donations. Some of the residents actually spearheaded this part of the wellness committee and took charge and basically coordinated the donations of different people in the community or restaurants, and just sort of coordinating days. And there was a calendar, a lot of alumni too, reaching out that had graduated and helping to coordinate deliveries for us. That was just wonderful on shifts, just having food, not having to worry about cooking with everything closed as well around us. And also I feel like the just connection with the community during this time, with different people in the community also donating things and reaching out, that's been so wonderful.
Saria, I'm curious to hear kind of your experience with the 7 p.m. hail to health workers and essential workers in New York City. How has that experience been for you?
If you just open your window, you can kind of hear parts of it depending on where you are. And then a lot of friends or coworkers post videos of it. So you can kind of see it's like a moment of feeling connected, those moments of feeling like everyone is in it together and just experiencing that moment together and like a moment of reflection.
Jackie and Sydney, have you guys experienced a 7 or 8 o'clock p.m. call to essential healthcare workers and other essential workers, just, you know, a hurrah call of appreciation? Have you experienced that in your neighborhoods?
Unfortunately, not so much. I think that it's happened a couple times, but the few times I have been home around that time, I haven't experienced that.
Well, you have to just come over to my street because I know you're really close to me.
Literally.
Every single night. Yeah. Every single night at 8 p.m., we have three neighbors who are like super close to us go outside, and I can see them from my balcony, and they're banging on pots and pans, and they're using those really like old annoying air horns that you hear at, you know, football games and stuff. And they're just like screaming like, whoa, healthcare workers, thank you. And
I think it's so street.
It's actually so
people
amazing.
Fun.
I don't know, maybe. I mean, it's literally only three houses. And sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I just got my baby to bed. Please be quiet. But he never actually wakes up from it. And it really fills me with such a sense of appreciation and gratitude and makes me very happy for the neighborhood that I live in and the community that I serve. Jackie, have you had that experience at all?
Not really particularly like in my neighborhood, but it's possible it's just not happening when I'm home. But they have been doing a couple of different things around the city of Columbus, and they had like a flyover all the different hospitals in the area, which was cool. So I think there's a lot of people in the community that are trying to be thankful. We just haven't quite experienced it in that way.
Sure. Always focus on the positive and find the silver lining. I love that. Are there any other apps or resources you guys have experienced or used that you feel like would be helpful to share with our listeners?
I personally really like Down Dog, and it's free. I think they said until July for healthcare workers. There's yoga, there's high intensity interval training, and a few other apps that you can use for different workouts at home, which has been really helpful, especially with the gym closed. And then Headspace. I really like Headspace. I like the meditation series that they have, especially before I go to sleep at night when my brain's all crazy from the day, and a few of the other guided sessions that they have. It's really great for mindfulness.
I love that on Headspace you can actually set reminders that, hey, you should go and meditate for 5 minutes or like take a break and do nothing for 60 seconds. I really like that about Headspace.
Those nighttime SOS Headspace meditations and story time and all those things have been super helpful for when I wake up in the middle of the night as well. Spotify has also made a daily wellness thing. It's not as great as some of the other ones, but it's still something that's like mixed with music that you frequently listen to and like some podcasts, short podcasts, some mindfulness breathing, things like that. It's kind of a nice thing to just like listen to while I'm walking my dog in the morning before work. It's just like something that's easy to just turn on, just kind of get your day started. But yeah, Headspace is where it's at. It's also free for AMA members if you're a part of that organization, and healthcare workers as well right now. So definitely check it out.
Totally agree with Headspace. I love it. I had like the free version before, but I downloaded the full version and it's awesome.
There's another mindfulness and meditation app called 10% Happier, which I also like. I don't think it's as superior as Headspace. I don't think the interface is as user-friendly, but I do find that it also has like different meditation guidances and mindfulness sessions that you can try for free, which I think is really helpful. Another really interesting thing, I don't know if you guys have tried any of the free classes that Yale is offering online that you can audit for free, but I just started the Science of Wellbeing, and it's like a 6-week course and you can take it at your own pace. It's all video conference lectures. There's no real pre-reading required, although there are resources that they give you, but it's really fascinating. It talks about kind of our misconceptions of happiness and what happiness kind of means to different people. It manages expectations of what makes you happy and how to kind of overcome some of the happiness biases, like you have to have it all to be happy. The idea that, oh, I'll be happy once I have a baby, or I'll be happy once I have this title, or I'll be happy once I get this job promotion, that kind of thing. And it gives you homework every week. It helps you discover strategies to kind of implement change to becoming a happier person. And it's really kind of a fascinating course, and it's totally free, offered by Yale. So you should totally check it out if you have some downtime and you're kind of interested in that kind of scholarly activity. Well, I think that kind of rounds out our podcast today. Is there anything else you guys kind of want to add about different wellness strategies or intervention you guys have been using, or any like closing thoughts you have?
I think that the most important thing is trying to figure out what helps keep you grounded and what helps keep you balanced, just to keep your mindfulness in check and figure out what those things are and continue on with them. Because I know that this is something that we're going to be dealing with for a long time. And hopefully we're not going to continue to have these big waves of these things, but, and of COVID at least, but we're going to continue to face challenges like this, especially in our specialty. So it's important to have certain outlets where you can take out your stress. It's important to keep these things in mind and have different outlets for that stress and figure out what works best for you.
Yeah, I think during this time, just really trying to stay in tune with yourself, but also the connection part of it during this time and striking a balance between both.
And always ask for help if you need it. I think we're a community of people who don't always recognize that we need help, and it's okay to ask for help or check in on your colleagues and offer help if it seems like something's not right.
Very well said. And realizing that we are all in this together as physicians, as healthcare workers, and as human beings. And we will fight this together. Thank you all for joining me today and kind of discussing the different strategies and interventions you personally are using and that your programs are using across the country. I really hope it helps our listeners, and I really appreciate you sharing your own personal experiences and stories to kind of help the greater good.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Katie.
And that wraps up a great episode from the Wellness Think Tank. You can reach us also on Twitter at WellnessTT. Until next time, remember that residency training should be about thriving and not just surviving.